I'm thrilled to be with you all this morning. Thank you so much. You've brought a bit of sunshine into an otherwise cloudy morning. And I hope you've got your order of service for morning prayer on this fourth Sunday after Trinity. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you and also with you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may give ourselves to the service of God. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand." So let us turn away from sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. In the wilderness, we find your grace. You love us with an everlasting love. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. There is none but you to uphold our cause. Our sin cries out, and our need of you is great. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Heal us, O Lord, and we shall be healed. Restore us, and we shall know your joy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image, to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Blessed is the Lord, for he has heard the voice of prayer. Therefore shall our hearts dance for joy, and in our song we will praise our God.
And the first reading is taken from 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, beginning at verse 7. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness and the love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this matter, I am giving my advice. It is appropriate for you who begin last year not only to do something, but even to desire to do something. Now finish doing it so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there may be a fair balance. As it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And we turn now to our responsory. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and be not wise in your own sight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and be not wise in your own sight. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and be not wise in your own sight.
Our second reading is taken from Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. A large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but grew rather worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and took his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing that what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Last week, we heard the story of Jesus and his disciples crossing the lake and being caught up in a storm. This week, our gospel reading gives us the tale of two daughters and Jesus. One daughter is a little girl who is lying on her deathbed. Her father has status and influence and tries to help her. The other daughter is a nobody, someone who has been pushed out to the margins of society. She has no one to speak up for her. The one thing that is going to link them together, these two daughters, is Jesus. Jesus, the healer. Jesus, the restorer. Jesus, the taboo breaker, who is no respecter of social or religious barriers. At the beginning of this story, just like the beginning of last week's story, This one starts with Jesus and his disciples crossing the Sea of Galilee once more. They have hardly got out of the boat when Jesus is accosted by a prominent figure, Jairus, who is the leader of the synagogue. He has managed to make his way through the crowd and falls at Jesus' feet, begging Jesus to heal his 12-year-old daughter, who is on the brink of death. "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." Straight away, Jesus senses Jairus' urgency and agrees to go with him. But at exactly the same time, a woman who has been hemorrhaging for 12 years makes her way through the crowd to Jesus. She doesn't fall at Jesus' feet. Instead, she slips out an arm and surreptitiously, oh, so carefully so as not to be seen, touches the hem of Jesus' robe. The touch of Jesus' clothes causes an immediate and a dramatic reaction. The woman who has been bleeding for 12 years knows straight away that the bleeding has stopped and she has been healed. It's a miracle. And at the same time, Jesus immediately knows that power has left his body and he needs to find out why. "Who touched my clothes?" Jesus asked. Well, the disciples think that this is a crazy question. A crowd of people are thronging around Jesus. It would be impossible to know who had touched him. But Jesus won't let it go. He keeps looking at the crowd. "Who touched my clothes?" I can imagine the scene at that moment. Everyone in suspense, as if frozen in time. This story is about a 12-year-old girl who is suffering and who might die too soon. It's also about a woman who has suffered for as long as the little girl has been alive. Her bleeding, her suffering has made her an outcast. If we pause the story at this moment, which person has your attention and focus? If you are a parent who has ever known the pain and agony of a child who is ill, you will know how Jairus felt at that moment. I bet he had tried absolutely everything. He would have sought the best medical help. He would have asked members of his synagogue to pray. He would have tried everything, but nothing had worked. His little girl was at the point of death. I suspect Jairus was so desperate when he fell on the ground before Jesus. He didn't care that he was making a public display of himself. He didn't care that he was a religious leader begging an itinerant teacher for help. I can imagine how relieved he felt when Jesus agreed to go with him. But then, just as they were making their way through the crowd, Jesus stops. There doesn't seem to be an explanation for it. Jesus just stops. And then he asks a ridiculous, nonsensical question. "Who touched me?" I can imagine what was racing through Jairus' mind at that moment. Don't stop. Don't delay. There is no time to waste. But Jairus waited. He waited for Jesus, even though it didn't make sense to him. He waited for Jesus, even when he heard that his daughter had died. Jairus had to learn to wait. Why did you delay? Why didn't you act now? I think it's one of the most painful things, waiting for God to act. You cry out to God for help, for sanctuary, for healing, to rescue you, and then nothing happens. It is as if God had gone silent and you just wait. Well, eventually, Jesus and Jairus move again and they walk to Jairus' house, even though his little girl is now dead. Don't be afraid, just believe, Jesus says to Jairus as they walk on. Jairus walks on because Jesus tells him so. I think this is a walk of faith. It's a walk of faith in the valley of the shadow of death. And Jairus keeps on walking. He keeps on walking despite the weeping and the wailing. He keeps on walking despite the mocking laughter. He keeps walking with faith. The sort of faith that trusts in an absurd and an impossible word from God. She's not dead, she's sleeping. And then there's the woman, the other daughter in the story. This poor woman has been bleeding for 12 years. This meant that she was ritually unclean, unable to go to the synagogue, unable to be touched by anyone without making them unclean. She's an outcast and she's an embarrassment. I think she must have been so wretched and so, so lonely. But she too is desperate. And despite knowing the risk of being caught, contaminating so many people, she takes that risk. She knows that even touching the hem of Jesus' cloak will defile him. But hey, what's she got to lose? So she touches him anyway, and she is healed. But that's not enough for Jesus. He wants to know more. He wants to hear her story. And though she is terrified, she tells Jesus her story. She tells the truth, and all the crowd can hear it. Jesus knows that this woman has suffered for 12 long years. She has been subjected to other people's prejudice and judgments. She has been shamed and made invisible by bad religion. She has been denied spiritual life, which was her right as a child of God. As much as she needed physical healing, she also needed emotional and spiritual healing. She needed someone to hear her story, to listen to her, to understand her pain, and to allow the truth to be told at the heart of her community. And this is what Jesus does. Even when time is pressing, even when there are other urgent calls on his time, he stops to restore a broken woman. And he does restore her. He gives her dignity. Daughter, he says, when she has had her say, go in peace. I love the stories of these two women. I love the way Mark connects them together. Two daughters, 12 years, two people who push through the crowd and push through the barriers of society, all to reach Jesus. I have been trying to imagine what happened to Jairus and his daughter and the woman afterwards. I wonder when Jairus hugged and kissed his resurrected daughter, whether he also embraced a new vision of God, discovering who God is and who God values. In each story, Jesus embraced the impure, the bleeding woman, and the dead girl, showing love and mercy. In each story, each daughter who would appear to have no hope has hope restored and is able to go in peace. Jesus isn't the pronouncer of death. He's the giver of life in all its fullness. May we know Jesus, the life giver, today. Amen.
Amen. And now we turn to prayer. Let us pray to God, our Father, whose Son came that we may have life. Lord, hear us.
Lord graciously hear us.
We give you thanks for the life and the work of all those whose vision founded our National Health Service, and for those who serve others in care and compassion. We pray that their work and ministry to the sick may enrich and support the welfare of all. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
We pray for all who promote health and well-being in policy and in practice, and for all who care for the sick in hospital, in care homes and at home, for doctors, nurses, care assistants, cleaners and others. We seek guidance and strength for all chaplains and for all engaged in teaching and medical research. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
We pray for all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, for those who are terminally ill, elderly, or frail, for those who live with disability or constant pain, and for all who strive to bring them comfort and healing. Today, we remember especially Jack, Jen, Catherine, Brian, Jennifer, Jean, Jane, Alan, Roy, Christine, Chrissy, Mike, Aileen, Rosemary, Richard, and Ali. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
Remember in your kingdom, O Lord, all who have faithfully served you here on earth and are now at rest. Today we give thanks especially for the lives of Pam Hilton, Diana Hogg, and Mavis Pope. Grant us with them and all the faithful departed the joy of your salvation. Lord, hear us.
Lord graciously hear us.
We commend ourselves and all for whom we pray to the mercy and protection of God this day. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And the collect for the day. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply on us your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not our hold on things eternal. Grant this, Heavenly Father, for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among us and remain with us, and those whom we love and pray for, today and always. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning. Thank you to Stephen for helping to lead this service.
It's been wonderful joining you, Steph. I mean, it really has. I mean, I hope some other people will come and help you.
Thank you. Well, I think we've got Jackie next week. And the following week, Jenny Palmer. So, yes, we're getting a little list and a rota together. If anybody would like to come up to Whitley and help me do this, that would be great. But have a blessed day, and thank you so much for joining us.
Where are we off to now?
And we're off to Whitley for Holy Communion.
I've got something to tell people, those people that like coming to the Zoom coffee morning.
Yeah.
We've been and had a chat with the very nice people at Bridwell Park. And they've said, would we like to go on the 14th at 10 o'clock instead of our Zoom coffee morning?
14th of July.
July, yes. Beg your pardon if I said some other time. 14th of July. And so they're going to bake a nice lot of cheese scones and get the cakes going. So hopefully we can sort something out. Yeah,
great. If you would like to join that, whether you've joined the coffee morning or not, and do let me know. If you need a lift, then we'd like to get you there if you would like to be part of that.
Lovely. So
14th of July, 10:30, meeting people in the flesh.
Yeah.
Might take a bit of getting used to. Anyway, have a great day. God bless you.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. God bless. Have a good day. Bye-bye. Bye, Tilly.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah. Bye.